It's got time to die.
People can see
what crazy light is.
People can see
what crazy light is.
People can see
what crazy light is. It's got time to die. Cause it takes all of my time to praise for Jesus. All of my time to praise for Lord. If I don't praise him, the rocks are gonna cry out. Glory and honor, glory and honor. It's got time to die.
Keep so busy working for the kingdom.
Keep so busy working for the kingdom. It's got time to die.
We were hoping you would enjoy that one. The last time we gathered together here in God's house, I read to you a story about a story in the Bible. And we talked about how God created the earth and then created people and then asked those people to be his partners in his project to finish the world. And if any of you remember that, I won't ask for a show of hands, because I'm afraid of what the answer will be. But when I talked about how that story leads us to ask the question, what exactly does it mean for us to be God's partners? That's what we were thinking about last week. And then I tried to persuade you that 1 Peter chapter 4 answers that question with three things. Love deeply. For love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality without grumbling. And use whatever gift God has given you, not to serve yourself, but to serve others. But there's a second question, I think, that this little story about a story in the Bible asks. And that question is this. If we are called to be God's partners to finish the world, how will we know when the world is finished? What does it look like? What does it mean for the world to be finished? How will we know if we have done enough to finish the world? And last week I tried to give you a very nice, very simple, very easy to hang on to kind of answer to our question. But I'm afraid this week we're going to have to work a little harder. The answer to this question is a little bit more complicated because finishing the world, you know, is not an easy task. In fact, the lectionary passages that you have heard this morning, they give us this mosaic of what the world will look like when it's finished or when it's being close to finished. Each passage answers the question of how will we know when the world is finished. It answers it in its own way. So if you think back to the Luke passage, we are warned that the world will not be finished without judgment and persecution. But we should not be afraid, Luke tells us, because this gives us the opportunity to testify and to witness to God's love, a light shining in the darkness. Now, it's not a particularly pretty picture that Luke paints there, because there's wars and nations against nations and portents and storms, and it's not particularly pretty. And he even says, you will be hated by all because of my name. But Jesus assures us that not a hair of your head will perish, even in the judgment, even in the persecution. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. So I guess that's part of the way we will know how the world is finished: judgment, persecution, and yet not a hair on our heads will be harmed. Now, Psalm 98, when it comes to talking about what the world will look like when it is finished, it speaks of God making all things new, of a people who are lifting up their heads and singing an old song of lament, but singing it in a new key of hope. God has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to all the generations, and their response to God's love is one of overwhelming joy and rejoicing. So that's part of how we'll know when the world is finished. There will be great rejoicing. Now, 2 Thessalonians also reminds us that the world is not quite finished yet, and there is still much work left for us to do as God's partners, and it cautions us against idleness and expecting maybe somebody else to do all of the work for us. Brothers and sisters, it says, do not be weary in doing what is right. There is much work still to be done to finish the world. So much to do working for the kingdom that we ain't got time to die, as Julie just sang in today's anthem. But there's one more piece to this mosaic, complicated answer to this actually kind of simple question. One more answer from today's lectionary about how we'll know when the world is finished. And it's a grand cosmic vision of what the world will look like someday, from Isaiah 65. And I'll be reading verses 17 to 25 this morning. The prophet Isaiah, speaking on behalf of God, says, "For I am about to create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person that does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For the days of a tree shall be like the days of my people, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are not yet speaking, I will hear, says the Lord. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on my holy mountain. So the question before us today is, how will we know when the world is finished? Isaiah gives us three quick little answers to that. And his first answer echoes what the psalmist said, saying that all things will be made new when the world is finished. A new heavens and a new earth, a new song and a people who are made new again. The former things, the unpleasant things, the painful things, all those will be forgotten and will not come to mind. The world will be finished when all things are made new. The second answer is that there will be great joy and rejoicing at the newness. Weeping will be no more, and there will be no more cries of distress. Infants will no longer live just a few days, but rather a lifetime of over 100 years. And to the relief of parents of every generation, their lives will be prosperous and strong, like a tree planted beside the still waters. So all things will be made new, and there will be great rejoicing at the newness. But Isaiah has one more answer for us to our question of how will we know when the world is finished. And very simply, he says that there will be peace. That the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and that the lion shall eat straw like the ox. No longer will people or animals live as enemies or rivals, but rather we will live together as companions and partners. And it seems to me that third answer, that final answer, that is the foundation. That is the foundation for all the other answers. That's how we will endure judgment and persecution, because we have peace in God. The new song we sing will be a song of peace and hope. And that's where we'll find the resilience and the hope to keep on working for the kingdom. From the peace of God, which transcends all our understanding and which has been given to each one of us as a gift from the Holy Spirit. In fact, this passage of scripture from Isaiah, as well as some other pieces from Isaiah and some passages of Revelation, they're known as the peaceable kingdom images. And that's how we'll know when the world is finished. Because finally, after much war and hate and destruction, the serpent shall eat the dust, and no longer will hurt or destroy on God's holy mountain. Because finally there will be peace on earth. And that's how we'll know when the world is finished. But my friends, there's a problem. There's a problem because as beautiful as it sounds, this peaceable kingdom, well, feels pretty far away to me. God has created us to be his partners to finish the world, but sometimes I wonder if he made a mistake in asking us to be a part of that, because the task is so big and we are so small. In particular, a huge part of this peaceable kingdom, this part of it at least, 5 of the 9 verses that we read, talks about a time when infants will grow into adulthood, 100 years at a minimum. And they will prosper, and they will have their own families, working and living and enjoying the work of their hands, not laboring in vain and not bearing children in calamity. And they will be blessed. Half of this passage talks about that. But this part of the peaceable kingdom feels far away because we know in our county, We have the highest birth rate of drug-addicted infants in the state of Ohio. 76 in every 1,000 live births in our county are born with neonatal abstinence syndrome. And about 12 to 13% of babies born each year at SOMC test positive for an illegal substance. I've been haunted and a little overwhelmed by those statistics ever since I read them last month, which is probably why this part of God's peaceable kingdom caught my attention. Because when you think about babies who are born prematurely and addicted, and who will suffer chronic health problems for the rest of their lives, however long that may be. Well, Isaiah's peaceable kingdom where infants will live long, healthy lives feels pretty far away. And sometimes it feels like it will never come. And then, just when I start to think that the world will never be finished and that God should have never asked us to be his partners, and that there's too much work to do and I am too weary of doing what is right all the time, because that is a wearying, tiring thing. When I think it is time to give up, the kingdom breaks through, and it shines a light into the darkness, and we get just a little taste of what's to come. Like when we see the news story and read the big billboards about the Stepping Stone House, which is celebrating 200 babies born to mothers in recovery. 200 babies born drug-free to mothers who are drug-free. Now there's still a long ways for those little babies to go, but that's 200 babies who are off to a much better start than they might have had, thanks to people who are working for the kingdom, whether they realize it or not. They are working toward that vision of a peaceable kingdom. So back to our question. How will we know when the world is finished? I know I've given you a very complicated answer this morning. This mosaic of pieces from four different passages of scripture that can be a little overwhelming to try to hold on to as you go out this week to try to live God's love. Trust me, I know how overwhelming it is because I've been carrying that around in my brain all week as I've been trying to write this sermon. So instead of this mosaic answers with many pieces, here's a little bumper sticker answer for you. Something simple enough that you'll be able to hold on to it this week. And maybe even remember it next week if I happen to ask you about it. We will know that the world is finished because what is wrong in this world will be made right in God's kingdom. There will be peace. There will be rejoicing. And even the most vulnerable in our society will be blessed. Now, this kingdom has already begun, ushered in by the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. When he was born, as we get ready to celebrate that in Advent and Christmas, the kingdom came. The kingdom broke through, but it won't be fully here until he comes again, which is what Advent is all about. In the meantime, we live in this already, the kingdom is already here, but it's not yet here at the same time. And that is sometimes a pretty awful place to live, because it's here, but it's not. And what we get to do is to taste and to glimpse when the kingdom, which has already come, but it's not here yet, actually breaks through into our world, where we get to see, get to taste just a little bit of that rejoicing, just a little bit of that someone made new, just a little bit of that peace. that transcends all our understanding. So I guess as our job, as God's partners, given this task of helping him to finish the world, our job is to watch and to look for the places where God's kingdom is breaking through around us, and to support it, and to nurture it, and to celebrate it wherever it is that we find it. That's all we got to do. Watch for it, celebrate it, and encourage it. And when it comes to the big task of finishing the world, have no fear. God will take care of the rest for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.